Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Now a chance to win it, and that's going to do it. Riley to deep center. It's caught, but it will not matter. Williams comes home, and the Braves walk off the Mets.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. We're only like 6.5 out of the wild card. That's right. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. She is the queen of tofu. First lady of Atlanta baseball, Miss Allie Mack. He's the All-American. He played for Alabama. He's a national champion. He was the team captain. He was a former Atlanta Falcon. They call him Michael. Don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson. And Phoenix. He is the most vanilla man in Atlanta radio.
Wow.
With the only car out on the roads with electrical tape holding his hood down. We call him Dylon. He joins us, and our forces combine to make up the greatest show in morning radio in Atlanta. Oh, anywhere, actually. This is the Morning Shift. How do we feel today? I feel good. Hey, I don't care how you feel. I feel good.
That was quite the intro. You know what I mean? That was quite the intro, man. Appreciate the energy coming out.
You know,
wow.
You walk off the Mets, blank everything. New York is my. You know, I probably put it on my headstone. I'm going to come.
Can't let them live rent free. Put it on your headstone.
Nah, I mean, you know, maybe I'll put it on the bottom of the casket.
I am curious because we do have odd hours. We have to go to bed a little bit earlier. And there was a rain delay last night with the Braves game.
Yeah.
Who gave up before they ate the inning and went to bed?
I almost did.
Yeah,
I'll be, because you got to pick your spots when you're waking up as early as we do.
Exactly.
And we finished our iRacing last night, which was a complete just bloodbath.
A debacle.
And I got done, and I walked upstairs, and my mother-in-law's in town, so her and my wife put the kids down. And I walked in, flipped on the TV, and I was like, all right, it was 4-1.
Uh-huh.
I was like, went and got a shower, and I came back, and all of a sudden the rally started, and I was like, oh, whoa. I was like, wait a second. Everybody strap in and sit down. And I'm glad I did, because it was probably the most fun game of the season to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, I finished iRacing as well and went upstairs. And I had this thing where if the Braves are down like 3 or 4 runs, it's not good for me to go to bed with them on the TV, because
mm-hmm.
it just I go to bed irritated. I mean, it's a real thing. So we had the TV on already in there, and like everybody loves Raymond reruns, Rome. That's what Porkchop was listening to as she slept. And although my
great show, by the way.
Oh, it's a phenomenal show.
Ding.
We might have to rename her Pork Loin. We'll get to that later. But I right before I went to bed, I said, let me check and make sure. And so I got on the ESPN. It was like bases loaded, nobody out. And so I immediately flipped it over, and I see the bad call against Olson.
Oh, that was so bad.
And then Riley pops out, and I go, you gotta be. And I'm like, I'm gonna go to bed angry, no matter, even when I tried not to. And then the big bear gets his hit, and I was locked in. I couldn't go to sleep. I mean, I literally was like, I'm not missing the end now. So I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it was very, very intense. I do want to mention, coming up at 6:20 today, we're going to talk about Mike and Bo's list of the most important Falcons this season. We have too many. We were supposed to have top 20. You guys have 25 or 30 combined. It's too early for math.
It's 30. There's
we got to debate 5 people.
Correct. But trust me, it's 25.
It's 25. It's anyway. 25. We have too many, so we're going to whittle that down at 6:20 today. But like we've been talking about so far this morning, it was tense. It was nerve-wracking, but the Braves did come back from a 4-1 deficit to beat the Mets 5-4 in 10 innings. Marcelo Ozuna, like you mentioned, Bo, tied up the 8th inning with a 3-run double. Austin Riley hit a bases-loaded sac fly in the 10th inning, and how refreshing was it to see that dang double bubble helmet, guys.
That was nice. I laughed with Bo this morning talking about the walk-off sack fly that we just heard from a second ago. And I was like, man, the center fielder must have been playing Austin Riley in fantasy this week. Mm-hmm. There was absolutely zero reason to go catch that ball.
Yeah.
Like, he just hates Austin Riley. It's like, why are you going? Like, so many times do you see that exact situation, the center fielder just runs to the dugout. He's like, there's no way I can throw the guy at home. No, this guy tracks it down and makes an amazing catch.
And it was
like a Sports Center top 10. And you're like, wow, what a catch. That was for no reason.
Right.
But, yeah, what a catch. Yeah. So, and it was an interesting end of the game.
Taylor was good in the game anyways. He had a home run and I think a double or something. Yeah, I don't know why he caught that ball, but he did. I thought Austin Riley hit it out when he hit it. Because it was weird. It wasn't that it was a little high, and he just went and got it. And I was like, but he got all of it, or just almost all of it. And I was like, holy crap. Like, he just walked it off with a grand slam. And to Mike's point, I'm like, oh, he caught it? Well, run home.
Let's go. I was like, wait, he can't get him, right? The ball didn't even make it to second by the time he scores. So it is what it is.
Can we talk about Schwellenbach?
Yeah.
Because 4 runs in 7 innings, it's not a quality start, and you really needed better from him, right? You needed him to give up maybe 2 or less. But then I went back and looked at it, and if Acuna can get the catch early in the game, which he just missed it, right? And I heard the Mets announcers. I went back and watched some stuff, and I heard some Mets announcers talking. They're like, oh, well, if he was healthy, he'd have got there. Well, it's funny because he got the one at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Schwellenbach gave you what you needed because he gave you 7 innings. And then he allowed it to be what Johnson, Lee, and Iglesias, who went out there and gave up 1 hit in 3 innings with 3 strikeouts and no earned runs. Exactly what he needed. Iglesias, by the way,
dang,
has been absolutely filthy his last 3 outings.
Yeah, he has.
But Schwellenbach allowed you to not have to throw in De Los Santos or a Montero or a Ruiz or any of those guys. He allowed you to use your max guys.
It says a lot about the state of our bullpen right now, where I'm literally cringing at the thought of bringing any of them in.
I know.
Like, I
know.
I swear, I'm watching, and Pierce is throwing the 8th, and I'm going, he hung a couple sliders or curveballs or whatever it was in the zone, and I'm like, dude, you better be really careful throwing that pitch again. A couple of good at-bats, but it is, and I think it says volumes about where the bullpen's at with the situation where I'm, like, getting to the end. I'm going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, when are they going to pitch Rysell? And I do have to give Brian Snicker credit as well because, you know, I detract from him a lot of times. I'm glad he saved Rysell for the 10th inning for that situation. I think that was a good move on his part, being able to push that back. So I think that was all the right kind of things being put into that.
How did you feel about Dylan Lee comes in, a hard hit ball to Soto, and the next pitch, Alonzo puts it at the track, and I, like, when he hit it, I go, 4-letter word.
It's not good.
I know.
It's not good.
And then that mindset came back in where I'm gonna go to bed mad. Mm-hmm. And then Acuna goes and gets it, and the wherewithal, you know, to throw it back to first. I mean, just phenomenal. And then when you get to the 10th, the bottom of the 10th, and they walk, like, Acuna comes up with a guy on second, and he gets to the plate, he digs in, and they're like, dude, what are you doing? You gotta go to first. And I was like, man, that really irked me. But Olsen has a really good at bat. No, it was Verdugo. Well, has a bad at bat. I'm sorry.
I was going to say.
Then Olsen has a good at bat.
You can't go any farther without talking about Alvarez on the pass ball and throwing it back down to second base. And, you know, who was it? Was it Luke Jackson who kind of okey-dokes him into thinking he's going back to second,
yes,
and takes off for third? That was a play that the Braves this season have made.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I was just happy that the Braves were on the right side of that situation for once. That play that Alvarez throws down to second and obviously Luke Williams takes third, that combined with the Acuna catch on the warning track, both of those plays were the difference in the game.
Absolutely.
And I was like, these are plays that have gone against the Braves all season in these situations, and yet here they are making these plays in crunch time. So It just, things fell the Braves' way last night a number of different times, and you love to see it because, what is it now, 19 one-run games they've lost this year?
It's something insane,
like 19, I think it's 19 one-run games they have lost this season. I think this is only their ninth win in those games. So it's nice to see them start to come around. Some of those feelings from these close matchups, some of these managerial decisions, some of these instant reaction type of plays start to fall the Braves' way after all this time of it not happening that way.
You want to go there real quick with the managerial decisions?
Go for it.
I thought he pulled the right moves constantly last night as far as leaving Schwalbach to pitch seven. Mm-hmm. The guys he brought out, how he handled the eighth inning. And even I was a little bit when Ozuna gets the hit and they put Fairchild in to run. But in the end of the day, kind of the right decision. He managed the game well last night. Like that you can't. And the other thing was, we were talking about this. I think you and I were talking about last night during iRacing. But before we started, I was like, because it's 4-1 at that point, or it's 3-0, and I was just like, I don't know how you can blame Stint for anything right now. Like they're not hitting, they're doing. You know, I was watching them again. They're not hitting, they're doing anything. It was like frustrating. But then he was able to get the most. He pulled the right strings, and again, Schwellenbach going seven really, I don't think that can be understated how much that allowed you to not have De Los Santos in the 10th or Montero in the 10th in a situation where you have a guy on and nobody out standing at second base.
Yeah, I agree, and I think when you look at the the overall things from Schwellenbach's outing, I think it was 29 swing and misses. And while he wasn't, I think his velocity was down a tick, which I'm fine with. I don't like the fact that he's been upticking up to 100 miles an hour. But when you look at some of the things surrounding his start, some of the metrics, he deserved to stay in. He was getting a lot of swing and miss pitches. He wasn't at his best last night, but we talk about a number of times the last couple of seasons that it's the Charlie Morton effect. When you cannot be your best and you can still gut out a start like that, that's huge for this team moving forward.
It's
maturity. Well, and there were just so many tense moments. It was really nice. I thought for a little breath of fresh air in the 10th inning, Acuna's brother was the ghost runner on second base, and there was a fly out to Ronald. He caught it, and he looked at his brother and goes, go ahead, run.
Yeah. I love that, man. So good.
Well, we're going to talk about that more throughout the show today, but coming up, Mike and Bo, they have listed off their top 20 most important Falcons, but we have a few too many, so they got to battle it out, bring it down to a solid 20. That is next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift with Mike at MP Johnson 78. Bo at Squidbilly 929. Myself, Allie Mack at Allie Mack Radio. We need some feedback on the debates that are going to be going on in the show today. That's why you got to get on our socials. You can find the list that we're going to be debating at 929 Morning Shift on Twitter. But before we get into the top 20 most important Falcons that you guys have decided upon, I know you two got to talk to Ryan Blaney yesterday after the show.
Sure.
And we're going to play that interview later today at 8:40. But I'm hearing rumblings behind the scenes that it was a great interview.
What rumblings were those?
Came from my left.
No, it was good. He was awesome. That's Bo's driver. That's Bo's guy. And,
You're to her left.
Yeah.
I thought I was straight ahead.
Math and direction's hard for you this morning.
I was like, I'm right in front of you. How about your left?
Yeah, he was. He was a great interview.
It was phenomenal.
A great conversation.
Yeah.
And obviously we recorded it yesterday after the show was over, and we wanted to talk about obviously the race coming up at Echo Park Speedway next weekend and his thoughts on that. And he had a lot of good thoughts on that. And Bo wanted to ask him, some nerdy fan-like questions, and he answered those with grace as well.
What questions did I ask that were nerdy and fan-like? And we might not even hear some of those today.
He asked him what his favorite Trailer Park Boys character was, and you know, things like that.
He's supposedly a big fan of the show. I also asked him
about his pre-race music playlist. Things like that, you know?
Hold on. First off, I asked him also about his favorite Star Wars, and he answered it. But the pre-race playlist is not a fanboy question.
I didn't say fanboy.
It's something that he does every week. It's kind of become a thing. It's kind of, I think Spotify even like pimps it out.
So it's something he cares about.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah.
It was a good interview. Okay. He gave a lot of great answers. Because I had good questions. He's very candid with us, and, you know, he's... Sometimes when people want to talk, you know, to athletes or celebrities or whatever, and you kind of sometimes they play ball, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they want to do the interview, sometimes they don't. It was very clear that he was very willing to be open with his answers and kind of play ball with us. So that's a lot of fun.
Great is it when someone is like that when you're doing an interview?
Well, especially when you're a fan of him. And Bo brought that up afterwards. He was like, you know, I was kind of nervous. Like, you don't ever, if the guy's going to be rude to me.
Right.
And I'm a fan of his, like that, it could end things right there.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I can't root for this guy anymore. He's rude.
I was going to be like our buddy Dean looking for a new driver.
Yeah.
I was going to be behind new driver gear if he was like a jerk to me. I'm not pulling for that guy.
He could have come on here and acted like, you know, Steve Smith did to Bo that one time that we had Steve Smith on. And he was not very excited about Bo's question. And
it was a good question, too.
He said it was not a good question.
That's because he was
a dumb question. That was the...
Really? Yeah, he called it a dumb question.
Was that his word?
I think he said stupid.
That's a stupid question.
Dylan, wasn't it stupid? I mean, you should have the drop somewhere. I don't know where that drop is.
Oh, it's so good. Kind of a stupid question. So funny.
But no, and I asked, it was, and for the record, it was a legitimate question I asked Steve Smith.
Okay.
I asked Ryan Blaney legitimate questions, and he answered all of them. I even got him to kind of be loose with his tongue. As far as the verbs that he used.
That's a horrible question, to be honest.
Horrible question. Yeah.
Horrible question.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that hurts, Bo.
Yeah.
It was like also the first week
it
of the show.
No.
And it wasn't a bad question. It really
was. Horrible question, to be honest.
Did you think it was a horrible question, Mike?
I can't even remember what it was. It was 2 years ago.
The draft is on the way up. We're doing a draft type interview. And I asked Steve Smith, it was the year where Penix, Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, all these guys, J.J. McCarthy, they're all in the draft. And I said, Steve, you know, as a guy that played receiver and as a Panther, well, maybe it was.
I was going to say, that was not
was
the same
Bryce,
draft.
I thought it was,
no,
Bryce,
it was,
Young,
it was Bryce Young versus C.J. Stroud. That's the draft it was.
Okay, I was going to say, that
and
was too
I was
long
like,
ago.
Yeah, on my years ago, I said, you know, between C.J., because the Panthers had traded up for the number one pick.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And I go, you know, the Stroud-Bryce Young conversation, as a receiver, which guy would you rather play with? Who would you want throwing you the ball?
To be honest.
And he's like, well, that's a horrible question. And then he goes into the answer. And to be fair, the question was good. The answer was bad because he didn't really give an answer. He's like, well, everybody does different things. And I'm like,
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but it's funny you led in with that. To be fair. I don't think
from now on, Steve Smith, his dumb hats and his little mean mugging face and his bad attitude can stay off this show.
so good.
Well,
man.
I'm glad yesterday's experience was the polar opposite with Ryan Blaney. I can't wait to hear that interview again. We'll play it at 8:40 today.
It was, and I just want to put a bow on it, pun intended. Mike and I did a show at second year high school, Allie, from Falcons Friday Night Lights, or it was Saturday Night Lights. Steve Smith was from me to Dylan next to us on the NFL Network set.
Yeah.
And I refused to walk over to pull him on the show because I was like, I'll never again. You'll never come on my show again. Remember?
That's a horrible question.
Yeah, he was set up right there beside us. And I was like, I'm not walking over there.
I'm sure he was very offended.
He should have been.
That's kind of what my thought was, Allie. I was like, you know, he refused to go ask him to come on our show. I don't know if that's the flex. That you think it is.
In my mind,
it was
a major flex.
He didn't know anything was happening, but you were like,
gotcha. It was like Arnold back in the day at one of his shows. Yeah. I was like, we're doing a radio show, and we're not even going to come ask you to come on.
Look at like, my those shoulder. Apples. Look at my shoulder, Steve Smith. That's all you're going to get from me.
Yeah.
It was so big in my mind.
So glad you said that because I was like, I don't think that's the flex that you think it is.
Wow. In this mind, it was.
Okay.
Well, let's get to your top 20 most important Falcons for this season. You guys were very similar yesterday. You had 15 guys in common. So that makes it 25 total that we have chosen, if you do the math correctly. And we got to break this down. We got to get to a solid 20. So you got to battle out 10 different guys here. Up first, the battle is James Pierce versus Xavier Watts.
Yeah, this, and it's tough because I think when we talked about it yesterday, we both had strong safeties included in this conversation, and you start getting down to strong safety versus strong safety, which we had two different ones, and you also have rookies that could be backups, mm-hmm. right? And that's the conversation right here. We have James Pierce versus Xavier Watts, and I'll go ahead and throw it out there. We ended up going with James Pierce over Xavier Watts, simply the first-round pick and what the role is and what this defense needs badly, and that's to sack the quarterback. So we stuck with James Pierce on that matchup.
Yeah, if they can get to the quarterback, the back end is going to be greatly helped. And I think it's important to remember, these are not the best players. These are the guys that we think are the most important to a successful 2025 season.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can't sit there and tell me that a 27th, was it 27th, I think? 26th overall pick, an edge rusher, the guy that you trade up for, is not an important, doesn't play an important role. And to me, him having 6 to 8 sacks is going to be one of the most important things for this team, because it also means other guys are getting theirs too. So yeah, that was one where we came together. We and we made a couple. We actually came together other than like one position we just couldn't figure out, right?
I don't know about this one, because I think I overheard when you guys were debating this earlier today. I'm not giving up James Pierce.
Well, and you know, there
I
is.
Did say that.
It has to be a little give and take, and I was fine. I'll give up Xavier Watts, but, because you don't know that either one of them will start, and that's the end of the conversation.
In my defense, he came with a tuple. He didn't want to give up either.
Yes, for sure. He did.
I just speak louder.
Next one is Troy Anderson and Divine Diablo. Who won out on this one?
I'll start.
Go ahead.
This is a toss-up because we both feel that they'll be playing the same position for them. They're basically vying for the same position. Now, I'm a little confused about Diablo's role and how it maybe changes Caden Ellis's role at times, because Divine has been rumored to be, or not rumored, Raheem said he's wearing the green dot. So I'm a little confused. But Mike and I talked this out, and Mike, I feel like our consensus was that if the best version of the defense we saw last year was probably that New Orleans game at home.
Yep.
And Troy Anderson was the star of that game.
Yep.
So it feels like to me that the importance of this team is if Troy Anderson is that guy, you're better.
Essentially, these guys feel interchangeable at this point, and you just look at recent history of Troy Anderson being a part of Raheem's defense last year, and if you get the greatest version of Troy Anderson, that you can probably just nudge him just a little bit ahead of Divine Diablo. So that's why we stuck with Troy Anderson.
Okay. How about Brandon Dorlus and Chris Lindstrom?
This was my sticking point. You heard James Pierce. I was like, Chris Lindstrom isn't. And I get it. Look, this is the most important players. And so when you look at Chris Lindstrom, sometimes you tend to look at, oh, well, Neusel needs to be great and McGarry needs to be great. And Lindstrom just kind of falls in line. But he has to be great as well. It's just that we're so used to him being great. Brandon Dorlus, and I think there's a conversation we had about all the defensive linemen. We had some concessions that we'll get to probably next. But Brandon Dorlus, for me, fell by the wayside on that, just simply because Chris Lindstrom is so good at what he does that having him continue to be good is imperative to the success of the team this season.
Yeah, and to add on that, just on the Dorlus part, he's going to be, I feel like, a rotation guy. I think we would all be a little shocked if he just rose up and was suddenly getting a major part of this snap count. So that being said, I can go with Mike on this one. I think Lindstrom is probably what most people feel he's the best player on the offensive line.
He's a top five best player on the team, but mm-hmm. the important part, you know, playing up and playing a good year, that's what the sticking point was.
Okay, we could do one more real quick. I know we have two battles left, but we are running out of time here. So real quick, Rook Arora-Roa versus Tyler Allgeier.
This was the toughest one to me. This was the toughest one to me because I think that Allgeier, and I said this yesterday when I selected him, I think he plays such a massive part with this team. Essentially, you know, he's spelling Bijan, and he also brings a different dynamic. But I am terribly concerned about the defensive front, the interior defensive line, and being able to stop the run. So I sided with Bo on this one, and we fell back to Rook Arora-Roa in this conversation.
Yeah, you need him to step up with the absence of guys like Grady. Him and Morgan Fox are going to be important in this rotation.
All right, let's squeeze in the last one real quick. DeMarco Helms and Mike Hughes.
I gave up Helms, just like Mike gave up Watts.
Yes.
Because I do feel if Hughes steps up and he plays what he can and what we hope he can be
yeah.
with a good pass rush, It helps out. It helps everybody, right? Yep. And I think Jesse Bates being the other safety can help the younger player that you're going to have, unless it's like a Jordan Fuller.
The conversation also includes this, Allie, is that Xavier Watts and DeMarco Helms vying for the same spot, but Jordan Fuller is back there as well. That's a three-way battle for that spot. And so to include one of the three in your list, it just seems ridiculous. You know what I mean? So we kind of took both those strong safeties off the list and said, you know what? We'll push that back outside of the top 20.
All right. Top 20 has been chosen. We will rank them throughout the show. And coming up, Brian Snicker is adding duties for another team. We're going to cover that in the front page. We've got my Allie Mack drop. This guy might be going a step too far to help out humankind. You guys can decide if he's crazy or honorable. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
Yeah.
She said duties.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan at 6:41. And yesterday, breaking news, Falcons signed running back Deshaun Corbin and released Jace McClellan.
This was really interesting to me. And one of the reasons, because remember we were talking, I just talked about Tyler Allgeier. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I had him in my top 20, Bo did not, and we ended up leaving him off this morning as we're going through it, is because he was the guy. He was the guy to spell Bijan Robinson. I think Bijan had 75% of the snaps at tailback last year, and Tyler Allgeier had 25. And there was no Cordarrelle Patterson like you had the year before. There was no number three spot. I think Jace McClellan had a little bit of game action, like maybe one or two carries and kind of mop-up duty. But nobody ever kind of came into that third running back role. It was clear that the front office felt the same that I did yesterday. It was like, all right, we need some depth at the running back spot. So you go out, you drop Jace McClellan, and you try to upgrade that position.
Yeah, you know, you want to know what Corbin's profile is? 6'2", 221, runs a 4.6 40. Who's that sound like?
Tyler Allgeier.
Tyler Allgeier is 5'11", 225. Mm. So to Mike's point, they did, and that's one of the reasons we talked about this. I mean, you think it helped us move? You know, kind of leave Allgeier all. They're gonna carry three running backs. So Corbin, and you know what was funny is I watched Corbin play in college at Florida State. And when I saw him sign, I was like, where do you play college ball at? And then I went back and realized, I went and watched, he played at A&M and Florida State. And yeah. Now I'm remembering him at Florida State. The more I've done some research, and guy can play. So he's not going to come in here and crack your top two depth chart. But
well, and in response to that too, obviously Jace McClellan's an Alabama guy. I watched him throughout his career. I wondered what the fit would be with him when he got drafted as a late round draft pick here. I didn't love the fit. To me, his lateral ability was one of the things that he couldn't sustain over the course of his career at Alabama. So, obviously, that comes to a close yesterday. I'm sure that he'll still be around if somebody else doesn't pick him up. But, yeah, it's an interesting move nonetheless to kind of a one-for-one there at the back end of the roster.
So, just to double-check, this doesn't change. We don't need any amendments to the top 20 most important Falcons.
No, any amendments have already been made. That list has that one's hit the market.
Okay, well, Braves manager Brian Snicker, he was named yesterday to the National League All-Star coaching staff. Alongside that, Joe Torre is joining the American League as honorary coach.
Yeah, Torre, people forget Torre managed here, and I believe played here as well, but I know he managed here and for a brief time. And look, Snicker, it's kind of you kind of do this, you have the home team thing, manager here, he deserves it. Whatever we think of Phil about him, he deserves it. He deserves to be a part of this weekend.
I agree, and this is one of those things that you guys see this from time to time, especially in this business. You get a headline and you go, oh, that's cool, and then you start thinking about the flip side of it, and you're like, well, if that wouldn't have happened, I'd have been really upset. You know,
yeah.
I hadn't even been thinking about this, and they announce it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Wait a minute. You know what? If he had not been part of the staff, I'd have been up in arms. So it kind of all falls into place.
Exactly. It's a yawn. Like, oh, yeah, okay.
All right, cool.
No kidding. But yeah, you're right. That's funny.
Will he be the third base coach is the next question I have. We'll see how that kind of falls out.
Well, no, they're going to bring Freddie in for that.
Go ahead and get the windmill ready.
They'll put Senate first.
Go ahead and get the windmill ready.
Well, and speaking of the All-Star game, the Home Run Derby jerseys and caps have been revealed. Did you guys take a look at these?
Yeah, they are very Brave themed. Do you notice that?
But it's the American League that is more Braves themed.
Did you feel like that?
Yeah, take a look at that.
Yeah, I don't
know.
I
mean, that's the little A.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. But the NL is looks the like old the alternate. School.
Yeah.
It's the old school.
The bright blue. Yeah. What is that? Is that a royal blue?
It's a royal blue.
Yeah, and then you got the navy for the American. I love them. I have long been a hater of, you know, the practice jerseys and the alternates and everything else used for the All-Star game dating back 6 years. Now, obviously, this is for the Home Run Derby. But I actually don't hate them. Like, I wouldn't be the kind of guy to go and buy one of those, but I think they kind of look good.
Well, they do look good.
You know what the problem with baseball is? They make announcements that fans care about when football season is happening. Because in September, I did not realize that in September they had announced they'll return to the home and away team jerseys, right?
Yes.
So when Chris Sale is out there, and after last night, I think Ronald Acuña Jr. is going to shoot back up. I think he's like fifth in fan voting for right field. Some guy named Grant had tweeted it. And he's climbing up the fan vote. They're going to wear their home Braves jerseys, right? And Aaron Judge will be in his home Yankees Yankees jersey. So that is good. But players wearing their actual team uniforms.
It's so nostalgic for me. I grew up on these guys wearing these home and away uniforms. They will have a patch that signifies the All-Star game, which they should. It just feels right to me. I know that most people are very, very passionate about this. I think they went to alternates, All-Star game alternates in 2019 was the first year they had done it. The writing's been on the board. Let's go back. And obviously this year, that's finally going to happen.
Last year was the straw that broke the camel's back because the All-Star jerseys last year, do you remember what they looked like?
I'm trying to look them up.
Okay, like, so I have it right here because it was almost to the point where with the American League, I felt like there was a filter on my TV. Like the color was off. It was so neon pink. It was very bizarre. Yeah. I just did not
what
like
is that
those.
Color? Those, on the blue color. What color is that? Is that black and?
Black and like a.
Those look
Detroit
like.
Detroit Lions blue?
I thought it was more of like.
Powder blue.
Like more of a turquoise or something.
Hideous.
Those look like bowling uniforms. All right. I feel like that's something like the Big Lebowski. You just saw it on the Big Lebowski at his little bowling league that is a part of that movie. Yeah. Like, that's awful jerseys.
It's something. When you look at it, it looks like those jerseys were involved in a baseball movie.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean.
Yeah,
like and I'm trying to think of a baseball movie like Major League 3, where they're the Buzz. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I know it's off topic, but I'll just mention y'all not saying anything. The Florida Panthers repeat as Stanley Cup champions. It was back to back NHL Stanley Cup finals that the same two teams play, the Oilers and the Panthers. Connor McDavid is the best player, maybe the best player in sports right now without a championship. Best player in hockey for sure. And you can talk about state tax or whatever, but the state of Florida is owning hockey, and it's kind of crazy that the state of Florida is owning hockey, and Canada still hasn't won a cup in since 93, I think. So yeah. Pretty crazy.
Or does it make sense that Florida residents want to be cold?
Well, I was going to say, none of them are from Florida. All the people down, none of them are from Florida. Well, they all come from hockey states.
Whenever we stay in Tampa, it's seemingly there's always lightning season is in, and we stay right beside the arena. And I'm going to tell you, it is packed out down there. And that's Tampa Bay, who's also won a title in the last 8 years, I believe.
Well, how much pain would you guys go through to help humanity? Probably not as much as this guy in the Mac drop. So there's this guy named Tim Freed. He is a former truck mechanic. He has taken the last 18 years of his life to let snakes bite him.
No, thank you. No, I'll show myself out. No, thank you.
I hate snakes, Chuck. Yeah. I hate them.
Yeah, same Indiana.
I love Indiana, John.
Same Indiana.
So he has let snakes bite him over 200 times.
Okay.
200 bites. Plus, Tim has also injected himself with the snake's venom.
Stop it.
Over 650 times.
Okay, all right, how does this save the snake?
I hate snakes, Chuck. I hate them.
Well, so, maybe they gotta have a release.
Here's what.
Pause.
Tim took on this pain because he wanted to achieve immunity to venom. That's what he's trying to do. I know it sounds crazy, but it's actually a real practice called mithridatism. By the way, Dang. Don't try this at home. Yeah. Do not try this at home.
Why? But why?
Well, because look, somebody's snakes don't need to get backed up like anybody else. Also, I've seen this guy's picture.
Yeah.
He looks like he'd let snakes bite him.
Can you say that word one more time, Ellie?
Mithridatism.
Okay. I'm just going to take your word for it.
Well, why did you say it like she was saying it wrong? We need to know what the word is.
No, I was just making sure that I got all the syllables
correct. I'm glad you called it out, Bo, because I noticed that, too.
Yeah.
That was not a corrective question.
You know what? It must be something about the name Mike, because there's another guy on the station named Mike from 2 to 6 likes to correct everything people say with the words. But anyways.
Well, you are not going to believe this, but Tim, in his journey to become immune to snake venom, he had a really hard time getting scientists to take him seriously.
You don't say.
But
can't imagine why.
Again, what is the end goal? All right, let's just say he becomes, free of venom. Like, I don't understand.
Here's what's happened.
All right.
He's from Wisconsin.
Okay, it's taken 18 years. He couldn't get anyone to return his calls. But just last month, finally, they did a study on Tim's blood. It actually has antibodies that can protect against snake venom. Now, 18 years later, 200 bites later, these researchers are hoping that Tim's hyperimmunity could actually lead to the development of a universal antivenom.
So, I got a couple questions, and I don't want to put you on the spot. First off, what did he do when they bit him? When they bit him, and did he go get, did he have to go to the hospital, or did he let them bite him and just say, I'm going to pray I live?
He suffered through the pain.
But like, what? When you, a rattlesnake or like a cock, because I know it says here, rattlers have bit him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been bitten by cobras,
mm-hmm.
mambas,
mm-hmm.
Vipers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming copperheads and water moccasins.
I would believe so. This whole thing started in 2001, and he allowed two snakes to bite him, and he actually went into a coma for 4 days or something like that, and he lived through the pain. So then he decided, because he lived through that pain, he could help others.
I'm sorry. I'm not celebrating this, dude. This is ridiculous. Like, this guy, and you were like, nobody would return his calls after 18 years. Then why was he doing it? Like, I don't understand. Like, if there was actually a good scientific reason, why are you still going to get, more than one snake bite per year? Go ahead, Dylan.
I'll say this. Now, I believe this dude does need a shout out, because he is the real MVP. Like, if we are able to find a universal anti-venom, like, that's clutch. Like, come on now. That's clutch.
But in hindsight. This guy's not a scientist. He has no idea what he's doing. He's just like, you know what? I'm just going to make a few bad decisions. And it just happened to work. Maybe possibly worked out for him almost 20 years later.
Yeah. It's the length of time that he's stuck to this too, right? Because you would think, as friends and family of Tim's, like, you'd be like, after 5 years, a word, Tim. Can we talk about it?
I'm just having a hard time celebrating this guy. It's like if I walked out in front of a bus and they were like, let's put a crosswalk there. You know what I mean? It's like, that was still a bad decision. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have walked out in front of the bus. That's still not the way to go.
Him fighting through the pain, though, is crazy. Like, I really don't understand. Like, getting bit by a black mamba, like, those things can kill you in minutes if you get bit by it. Like, it's crazy.
What kind of drugs was he on when he, like, what was his acid trip like? How hard was that acid trip? And he's like, I've got it. I'm going to change the world.
He definitely came back from ayahuasca trip.
I'm going to let snakes bite me.
Yeah, he's been hanging out with Aaron Rodgers too much.
Yeah, he's been on a darkness retreat or two.
I really didn't see the point of really coming up with this anti-venom. Like, how many people actually get bit by snakes every single year? Like, how big of a problem is this? Apparently, it is like 138,000 people are killed by snake bites every year. 400,000 suffer amputations from these bites. So he could be helping over 500,000 people.
Snakes are my worst fear. I mean, I am mostly scared of snakes for sure.
I hate
this
snakes.
Is crazy.
I don't think there's a person on the show that's not scared of snakes. I've somehow, though, gotten my algorithm on Facebook shows up snake IDs all the time. Like, ID the snake.
No.
There's a group that IDs snakes. And I've actually been, I think I know why it keeps coming. I keep clicking on it because I want to make sure I see what snakes are bad.
Dude.
I mean, I know them mostly already. In Georgia, it's a rattlesnake, water moccasin, copperhead, cottonmouth, that kind of stuff.
Did you see what his first, I know we got to get a break, his first bite? An Egyptian cobra. Like, he didn't ease into this thing.
No.
Like, this wasn't like, hey, let's start with something that's just a little bit venomous. No, an Egyptian cobra.
Isn't the mamba only the only thing that's more venomous than that is the black mamba?
I'm not a snake expert. Apparently, that's you since you get to ID snakes all the time, Bo. So. Yeah. If you do want to see Tim's story, I have tweeted it out at 929 Morning Shift. He is insane, in my opinion. But coming up.
Oh, it's the inland taipan. Okay. Taipan is the most venomous snake in the world. Sorry.
We're going to get back into the top 20 most important Falcons this season, where Mike and Bo rank them. We'll get into that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Got him.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.